Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show. As we head for the weekend, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a moment. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our Friday edition always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Lots and lots of specials between now and Tuesday. Genesee 30-packs, $11.98. Shiner Bock 12-pack bottles, $12.97. Guinness 24-pack cans, $34.95. Red's Wicked Sour Apple 12-pack cans, only $7.97. Shock Top Sunset Orange 12-pack bottles, only $9.43. And Peacherita 16-ounce 24-pack cans, $19.95. All at Brewers Outlet through Tuesday.
Yeah.
Get there tonight. If you're going to Blue White tomorrow, get to Brewers Outlet tonight.
Stock up.
You betcha.
72 degrees, partly sunny tomorrow.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Great. Mr. Ham and I talked for about 45 minutes this afternoon. Once again, he had to bring up the suit restraining order, but I mean, it's just, you know, he worries people. So that's one of the reasons why I accepted the trade to the Purdy team.
See, I don't really consider this a trade for the Purdy tournament coming up on May 8th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club, to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. I think of more of this as a pounce and poach on the Purdy team to get you over there. I really don't think of this as a trade.
No, I also at the same time, I mean, as I've mentioned, the restraining order several times. All last year, it got to the point, just to appease him, Craig and the chief both said they would buy digital media. So, I mean, it's just, just slow down, okay? So we got Donnie Collins today, 3:35. Carolyn Keegar's press conference at 4:06 today. She was officially introduced. It was interesting saying, and now here's for the first time. Like, she was on the show last night. All right.
And been in town for a week.
Well, she wasn't in town for the whole week. She went down to the Final Four in Tampa. And, look, you want to get down there. You want to be a part of the Final Four scene for a couple reasons. One is when you're trying to put your staff together, you can get into a one-stop shopping situation. Now, it should be pointed out that Marquette has hired their women's basketball coach, and they went outside to hire. So Marquette did replace her already, but they did not replace her with somebody on the staff. So we'll see what she wants to do with people on the current staff here, what she may or may not do with people who are on her staff at Marquette, and what she may want to do to go outside both. But at some point, it's going to have to happen because I want to say the open period starts on April 25, I think. So you don't want to be the lone wolf out there. Yeah, and she knows that. I mean, she's already done this before over at Marquette. She had to put a staff together there after she got hired after being an assistant coach at Miami of Florida. So,
well, she's got great energy. I know she's chomping at the bit to, get the gym open. That's what she made reference to that during her presser today. Yeah, let's get the chairs out of here and get practicing going. But it was really cool.
I brought that up to her last night, though, on the show about that. Yeah. The rules on college basketball in terms of off-season practice are far more liberal than they are for football. And I've mentioned how many times have I mentioned on the show, I don't like the off-season rules in football. I don't like them. Where it's the strength and conditioning coach, Dwight Gall does a great job, but that's the person that has all the contact with them. I would like to see if football be the same way with basketball, where now I know they've at least given more time for coach-player film work. Yes. And that's valuable. But I'm talking about going out there, shorts, T-shirts, allowing coaches 2 hours a week to run 7-on-7 drills and things like that. Why not? Basketball allows the coaches to have more contact on a weekly basis. And more contact between coaching staff and player, the better. Not where it's overwhelming. I said, what did I say? 2 hours a week? I'd like to see 2 hours a week for football. Basketball, I want to say they can get 4 hours a week. Coach Davis is listening. He can correct me on that. But see, to me, more contact between student athlete and coaching staff, invaluable. And I don't mean 20 hours a week. I don't mean 10 hours a week. I was talking about two hours a week. Tuesday or Thursday, whatever it may be. Now, they've given them more time to be around them during winter workouts, which is good because, obviously, as you know, I went to one. I went to one winter workout this year. And so that's a positive. But I would like to see some off-season where, a couple hours a week, you're spending some time out there doing 7-on-7s or whatever it may be with your current group. But let's get back to her in basketball. She'll have the advantage of trying to implement what she would like to do during the off season, so that when they get to training camp in late September, the veterans will already have a head start on what's going on. Now, the five players that were recruited, and evidently all five are sticking with their commitments, will be in late June. And they also will be a part of that process. And that'll be a big plus. Look, you're going to end up, there's a certain way she wants to play. And I always take into account that when a coach takes over, there'll be some players already there that can fit her style, and there are going to be some players that don't. You're going to have some square peg round hole moments. But I'm telling you right now, I would not be surprised that by the middle of her second season, she's a force. She'll be a force in recruiting. She'll be a force stylistically out of the gate. But I think that some of the results on the court midway through the second season, I think you're going to see something out of her. She has a plan. She knows what she wants to do. She knows where she wants to go. And what's really, really great is that I think she knows exactly how to get there.
Well, we know where she's going to go tomorrow. She's going to hop on board the bus with Coach Franklin tomorrow as they head toward the stadium for Blue White. That was really cool that James invited her to that tomorrow. Talking after your conversation there with Coach last night.
I think it was after I talked to her last night. He talked to her for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be great. It'll be great to introduce her. As I said to her last night, I said, wait till you get out there and there's 70,000 to 80,000 people there. I said, you're going to get the reception of your life. I said, you're going to find out how important people consider you to be here. And I hope she soaks it all in and enjoys it. But she's a worker. And I thought it was interesting when I asked her last night, I said to her, mentoring is so important. So for you, who are the mentors that even to this day influence what we're seeing on the court from you? And the first person she brought up was her father. Her father was her little league coach, baseball. And his attitude as to how to coach, how to train is something, because I believe she has older brothers. how to coach, how to train, everything. He set evidently a terrific example for her. So we'll hear her presser and her segment of the conversation. Sandy Barber, I don't know what she said in the press conference. I didn't hear her part of the press conference, which was after the presentation today. But I think I do not know names, but I do know this, that Penn State received heavy, heavy interest, and that people would have been surprised at some of the names that showed an interest in this job. And Carolyn Keeger is the one that emerged as the one to get the job. That says a lot. Now, we have Patrick Chambers on the show yesterday. I thought yesterday, once again, I think we explained the Lamar Stevens situation. I hope that what we've done with this week with that has given you clarity as to how the system works. The NBA system is better than the NFL system. But I think part of that reason why the NBA system is better, time enters into it. And I think the positioning of the NBA draft relevant to college, as opposed to the positioning of the NFL draft process, makes the NBA an easier process to go through. Also, the NCAA has a lot more control over what's going on with basketball. So they have liberalized the rules. You can now have an agent to steer you through the process. A year ago, that wouldn't have been the case, but in July of last year, they put that rule in. Also, say you go through the combine. So Sean Carey, great player from Kentucky, goes through the combine. He's invited to Chicago. He participates in the Chicago NBA Combine. Keeps his name in the draft but doesn't get drafted for whatever circumstance. Sean Carey can then go back to his school. Almost everybody, though, will make their decision as an underclassman before May 29th. Both the coach and the player get the email of evaluation. So they'll both have that at their disposal for them to sit down and talk, if they so desire. So for Mike Watkins and for Lamar Stevens, I think it's smart that they put their names in. I know it makes Penn State basketball fans nervous, but that's the ball game today. You already have, as of this week, 600-plus names in the transfer portal for men's basketball. Already. You already have over 600. As I've mentioned many times in the show, April in college basketball is like examining the waiver wire. Tomorrow's the blue-white game. Come back, give you some impressions of what I've seen so far in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet.
We upgrade all the time.
My computer.
My TV.
My phone.
Isn't it time you upgraded your vehicle? Upgrade your trade now at Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. It's the second annual Upgrade Your Trade event. Now is the time because SMC is making it easier than ever with above market value for your trade. Plus, save $4,500 on a 2019 Kia Sereno LX. Now just $26,415. A 2019 Kia Optima S has $4,000 in savings. Now only $22,910. And SMC is still offering a $99 a month lease on a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just 36 months. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. It's the second annual Upgrade Your Trade event at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases for 36 months, 10,000 miles per year. No security deposit required. Tax and tags extra. Offers expire 4/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
So Carolyn Keeger knocked it out of the park today. I mean, look, there are various areas to win. Eventually, you got to win on the court or the field. But when there's no court or field to participate in, you have to go out and win the press conference. Well, she did that. Her degree is in broadcasting, by the way. Broadcasting and Electronic Journalism from Marquette. And I was kidding her last night on the show. I said, well, and I said, I can't coach, but you can do my job. I'd prefer we just stay in our current roles. She's very impressive. Very impressive. Now, the blue-white game. This is how I feel about... I had a wait-and-see attitude about the team going into the spring. I just want to see how things developed. I didn't really go in with a lot of, you know, preconceived expectations. As you know, I don't go in with a lot of preconceived expectations on a lot of things. This is how I've come out of it. I think they had a great 4 weeks. The one thing that you will notice tomorrow is almost everybody on this team can run, and they can really run on defense. And that's impressive. You even look at a guy like Adiza Isaac, whom I brought up on the show with James Franklin last night. We talk about Jason Oway and his ability to move and run. Well, Isaac's the same way. There are times out there Isaac does not know what he's doing. Well, when guys don't know what they're doing, this is what they have a tendency to do. They stop. He doesn't stop. He just, okay, I'll figure out some way to get myself into this thing somewhere. Now, you like to see that in a young player. As time goes, he'll pick it up as time goes. But he has a lot going with him. I'm just pointing him out as a true freshman. I feel that after seeing this, they'll walk out of the spring, in my opinion, with a solid two deep at 40 out of 44 positions. How about that? Out of 44 players that you'd need to be two deep, I feel they're 40 out of 44 right now. And the door's open to make it all the way through to 44 and then keep moving. You're saying, okay, now where? Look, I'd like to see another safety. This is where the Brisker kid comes in, I think. As time goes in training camp, I'd like to see a couple of offensive line spots solidify. In terms of the, I'm talking about the second unit now. I'm not talking the first unit. They're fine across the board. There aren't any holes in the first units. I'd like to see a couple of offensive line spots firm up as a to make it a really good two deep, and maybe one more wide receiver to get them to six, because I count Mack Hippenhammer as five. So, I mean, that's what I'd like to see. And the other part, it doesn't, to me, I realize practice is important in terms of what is happening with the with the place kickers and so forth, and, you know, I've watched them, but in reality, to me, that's only going to happen in a game. I mean, once they get to the games, I really want to see Jake Pinneger in his sophomore year now. He's only a sophomore, but be that consistent force, especially from 40 yards in. Especially from 45 yards in, 45 in. I'd like to see Penn State get the ball to the 25-yard line and feel confident that they're going to get points. Now it's just a question of whether they get 3 or 7. I mean, that's what I'd like to see there. That can only be proven in the game. He's kicked well, and so has Tobin, and so has Hilling, and so has Cheka. They've all kicked well during the spring. But that, to me, is something that can only be shown in a game. So that's where I feel they are. But, you know, I'd like to see, you know, coming out of the spring, I'd like to see a couple more offensive linemen step up. I think getting a sixth wide receiver and getting another safety. There are several players that have been very good that I've got to give a lot of credit to. I want to give a lot of credit to Damian Barber. Damian Barber, I went into the spring thinking, all right, let's see how it goes. Then after the first week, I was like, okay, let's see how it goes. And the last 3 weeks, he has gone out and he has really started to take charge in that second unit. He's played very well. Antonio Shelton has been very good. Windsor, you know what you're going to get there. Aeneas Hawkins has improved himself. So that defensive tackle spot has rounded itself into an area that I don't have a lot of concerns about.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, frustrated Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And great specials for your Blue White weekend. Stock up now before you go to Beaver Stadium. Or tonight before you go over and watch Bucknell. Bucknell scrimmaging tonight over at Christie. Genesee 30 packs, $11.98. Scheiderbach 12 pack bottles, $12.97. Guinness, 24 pack cans, $34.95. Reds Wicked Sour Apple 12 pack cans, $7.97. Shock Top Sunset Orange 12 pack bottles, $9.43. Peach Arita 16 ounce 24 pack cans, $19.95. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. With that, we bring in the outstanding Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Donnie, welcome to the show. It is great to have you back.
Thanks, Steve. You've made me thirsty, though.
I think that was the goal. Let's get to tomorrow. Obviously, it'll be practice 15. So what will be on your checklist, especially the first quarter and a half, what will be on your checklist for tomorrow?
I mean, I think a lot of things. And I usually go into a spring game focused on one or two positions. I think a lot of them this year, I want to see the receivers. I mean, there's been so much talk about Justin Shorter. I really want to see what he can do with some extended playing time. You know, things like that. The running backs are going to be really intriguing. Journey Brown is getting a lot of talk. When people start talking about him being that much better than you've seen the last couple of years, you want to be able to go out and see that. Offensive line, I want to see how they're going to use some of those guys, how they fit in, how they're going to rotate the three guards, the three tackles. But I think everybody's going to really focus on the quarterback. And I get it. That might be the one position, really, that it's nothing's going to be settled tomorrow. Nothing's going to be settled tomorrow anyway. But I don't know if Clifford goes out and has a dominant performance, if that really matters all that much, because Stevens is going to get a shot. But I'm really going to be intrigued to see how good Clifford could be, how much he's improved from one season to the next. Because even if he ends up the backup, I don't think there's anybody who's seen Penn State play, who was around the program a lot, who thinks that guy's not going to be an absolute stud down the road.
He spins it. There's no question about it. Sean Clifford spins it. And I think fans will see that tomorrow. When you did see him in limited time last year, what did you think of Sean?
You just said it. He can throw the ball. He makes any pass. It's difficult, and even in those games, because it's not a controlled situation. It's going to be, but you have a... You're in there late in games for the most part. He got in a little bit in the Citrus Bowl, but he looks like a guy who can make any throw. Franklin's kind of talked about how competitive he is, and I think you see that. You don't put up those kind of numbers and blow out games if you don't want to show something, if you don't have something to prove to yourself and everybody else. And I think Clifford goes out there like it's nothing, and he's gonna throw the game-winning touchdown pass on the next throw, and he's that focused on everything, regardless of the score. I just think he's a real talent. But I've heard that some scouts think that he's definitely got an NFL NFL arm and an NFL body, and he looks the part. I think that last year, obviously you think of the touchdown pass to Daniel George and the record and stuff like that, but there's a lot of little things, and you can see he was getting a lot better as the season went on, even just in that role as Trace's backup. So I like him a lot. I think even, you know, Tommy Stevens is going to be healthy in the summer. I think even if he had not been injured, he would have had a tough time holding off Clifford for very long. But that said, Stevens he's an excellent prospect too. We all know that. So I think that's going to be a really intriguing battle come August. But, you know, maybe tomorrow, we just get a little glimpse of that.
A year ago, when Tommy was not available in the spring, it opened the door for Sean Clifford to take reps with the second team guys. This year, the guy taking the reps with the second team group has been Will Levis. How anxious are you just to see him in that atmosphere for the first time?
Extremely. I remember a couple of years ago when it was, I think Hack might have still been there, but you know, I said something on Twitter, like, because I'll sit there and watch the quarterbacks just in warm-ups, because I just love to do that, and I love to study, and I love watching guys throw, because I love to throw when I played. So I look at the mechanics, and I look at, you know, what kind of ball they throw, and I said to my, I said on Twitter, you know, I don't know if he's going to beat Trace McSorley out, because everybody thinks McSorley is the next in line, but Stevens looks really good. I mean, he's throwing these accurate passes. He's got a strong arm, looks like he can make any throw. And I didn't think that again until I saw Levis. The guy looks like a tree out there. He looks like, you know, he's one of those guys, you know, the old paternal line. You can turn him into a linebacker. Levis looks like a linebacker, but he's out. He fires passes. He can throw the out. He can throw the out and up. He's got a lot of accuracy and touch. He could throw the fastball. He could drop it in on you. I think he's a tremendous prospect. And you know, Penn State's quarterback room, like, really, really good. I mean, and I don't know if in this day and age, I mean, Franklin kind of alluded to it last week, or, you know, a couple days ago or whatever it was, but he said, you know, other schools around the country really have a problem with their quarterback room, because if you got a guy who's established, everybody else wants to go looking for the opportunity. And I wonder, I mean, Penn State's quarterbacks are good enough to go looking for the opportunity, so they're doing a pretty good job kind of holding them in there. But I think Levis is a really well-kept secret, because from everything I see, he looks like a starting quarterback in a major conference.
Look, everyone knows about 1-2-3, regardless how the order works out. What's your interest in watching Taquan Roberson and Michael Johnson, the two freshmen?
Yeah, just to see how much they've picked up. It's a hard position to play. It really is.
Right.
I think it's the hardest position to play in sports. I don't think I'd get many arguments on that one. But, you know, see what they've picked up in 2 months with an offense that I'm sure is more complicated than what they ran in high school, but those two guys, just, you know, watching a lot of film on them, you know back in February and since, you know, they're two different guys. They look totally different. They play totally different. I want to see. To me, on film, watching him play with his high school team, Roberson looks a lot to me like McSorley. Kind of the same skill set, kind of the same demeanor. They're leader type guys. They're not afraid to do anything. But I want to see. He's probably even more than Johnson, the guy I really want to see what he can do, because I want to see if he can make it happen with very limited time in the system. And those types of guys tend to be able to do that. Johnson, I'll be impressed if he, you know, if he could have, you know, some big moments, because really I think his skill set, you know, it depends on what kind of packages they put in there for him. I like him as a prospect, but I'm going to want to. I want to see him after a couple of months, into the program. But I think Roberson could be intriguing, because guys like that just don't make it happen.
Yeah, that's. I mean, look, he'll be the first glimpse for everybody tomorrow watching them out there. So it'll be a first impression. What else will you look for outside of the quarterbacks tomorrow? How much will you look at the starters, too deep, things like that?
Yeah, I tend to, especially the offensive line, I do tend to put some stock in that, because you got to run five starters out there. I mean, and generally speaking, the five guys who go out there in the spring, or the five guys who go out there in the in the fall. And, you know, sometimes you could tell a lot about where they're leaning. Not anything could change, but, you know, the way it's hard to change that much over the course of 4 months. So I want to see, you know, Franklin said they're going to use three guards. I want to see how they use those three guards tomorrow, you know, where, you know, Miranda fits in with C.J. Thorpe, things like that, and the tackles. You know, you definitely want to see what Walker could do. But, you know, on defense, you know, Micah Parsons said the other day on the conference call, you know, they've been really working on rushing the passer. I want to see how much they try to do that tomorrow. They're not going to do very much in that regard. They're not going to give anything away. But I think they're going to go out and try to prove something there with those three guys. Because and the other thing is with the defense as a whole. I've heard a lot about how fast they are. I want to see.
Oh, yes.
It would be interesting to see how fast they look.
Enjoy it. On defense, they run. I mean, there isn't a spot in the field they don't run. And I think that's what's going to be interesting.
They should be able to run because, I mean, they've recruited such great speed over the years, and now it's the time for some of those guys to go out there. Marquise Wilson's another guy I really loved on film, and I did one of the recruiting speeches up here for the Scranton alumni guys, and you know they always ask, you know, who's the sleeper in this class, and I said it was Wilson because you watch him on film, he just looks great, and then it goes, you know, it makes me sound like I'm just stealing something from somebody because every time one of those coaches talks, they talk about Wilson. You know, he has a couple of picks, and, you know, he's taking the ball, and he's returning it the other way for a touchdown. So those guys are going to be really fun to watch too. It's the cornerbacks, the safeties. There's just so much speed on defense. But you know, let's see if they can implement it in a spring game.
Well, I'll give you just a little one. All right, and I think James may have talked about this, but I want to say it was Daniel George ran a pattern and he faked Wilson out. To the point where Wilson goes to the ground. So it would have been one of those Bill Raftery, a little lingerie on the deck. Right? Wilson got up, ran downfield, still picked it off.
Jeez.
How about that?
That speed right there, yeah. When you're running down, I mean, there's some factors that go into that, but if you could strip and fall and still go catch up with a guy like Daniel George, you're motoring. I'm really looking.
Now the ball hung up a little longer than it should have, but still it was impressive.
Yeah.
He did, but he didn't quit.
Hung up a lot.
See, my point is, but he didn't quit. He got himself back into the play. Oh, I'm on the ground. That's it. I'm done. No. He was still trying to make some play, even if it was making the tackle.
Yeah. The thing with these guys nowadays, and I really believe this when I see some of these freshmen, you could tell who's going to play, and here's how I could tell usually. They're the guys who want it most. And these guys come in, they're all going to do this. It happened to Micah Parsons, and I can't imagine a better high school player than Micah Parsons, what he was able to do both sides of the ball, any position he wanted to play. But he came in and realized, hey, some of these backups here are better than me right now. I got to adjust. And, you know, see how fast some of these guys adjust. And a guy like Wilson, that play tells me a lot because if he's falling down, that could be a frustrating moment for a kid just out of high school. And if he's getting up and chasing it down, he wants it. These guys aren't on a 5-year timeline anymore in their own minds, whether good or bad. They're on a 3-4-year timeline, so they better make it happen. And if you really think you're good, you better go out and play hard like that. And I think some guys are able to do it, and others aren't. And it sounds like Wilson's one of those guys.
Well, like Adiz Isaac, there are moments out there, and James has talked about this. He talked about it in the show last night. Well, you know, there are times like, well, okay, he's not quite sure, but he's hustling his brains out no matter what. He's not just going to go, I don't know what's going on, stand there. He moves.
Yeah.
That tells you a lot because you can teach him the stuff he needs to know.
Yeah. Eventually, guys like that are going to learn the system. And once they do, you know, every coach will tell you, they start to look fast because they know what they're doing. But when you got a guy who doesn't know what he's doing and he looks fast, it's because he's trying hard. And there's a lot of those guys out there. And you mentioned Isaac. these defensive ends, I don't know how they're going to play all these guys. They have a million of them. They just really have a million of them. I mean, we're going to see a lot of them tomorrow, obviously, but it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of sort that out going into the fall because, I mean, I can think of about 10 defensive ends who really have a stake to, you know, could stake a claim on playing time.
I think the way the current climate is with transfers, the way the current climate is with people going to the NFL draft, you might see a coach or two panic about redshirting. And I don't, you know, and I'm talking about across the country. I'm not talking about Penn State. I think James is going to stick to his guns. In other words, if you're a Justin Shorter, for example, or Daniel George, they redshirted him last year because of the people they had in front of him. And I think it's going to be important for, well, to make an adjustment to the current climate, but at the same time, don't panic yourself into a bad adjustment in the current climate.
Yeah, I think James, I think you're right. James is going to be patient with this. And I don't know if he's going to change too much of what his original philosophy is. And I think it's going to benefit the players who realize that and accept it. I mean, we had McGovern up here. We paid a lot of attention to him. And, you know, he came in. He obviously had a sight set in the NFL playing early, and he did it. But he didn't come in and start early. I mean, he was a guy who had to work his way into it a little bit. And he's kind of a special talent. Saquon, obviously, an extremely special talent. And a lot. I mean, if you're playing at this level, you're a special talent. Let's face it. But I think for a guy like Shorter, you come in, you have an injury. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're off schedule. It just means that you could use that time to learn something different, to take a little bit of stock in yourself and learn about yourself and become a better receiver that way. And I expect he'll have a big season because he redshirted last year, and it does help though that you do have that new rule that you could still play a couple of games of redshirt. I think
right,
that's a
four.
Good rule,
yep.
for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
But
I agree.
You know, he's a guy who I think if they rushed him in last year, I'm not sure he would have had the impact that he's going to have as a freshman this year. I think he's going to kind of jump off the page a little bit this year. And when you're surrounded by other types of guys, you know, that have more experience and frankly, you know, are built better to handle the everyday pounding you take as a football player, I think he might not have stood out as much as talented as he is. So I think it's eventually going to benefit him. And the other thing is I think they would have loved to have redshirted Dotson. They just couldn't.
Yes. Oh yeah. So, no. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He played because they had to.
Yeah. Yeah. They had to do it. So I think these guys are all going to benefit from the path they took. I think it turned out it was a little easy to forget about Shorter in a way, but I don't think people are going to forget about him this fall. I think he's going to have a big year.
Donnie, always a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right, Steve, I'll be there.
Hey, thanks, Donnie. The outstanding Donnie Collins from Scranton. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones's favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Oh, great. We're just talking about scheduling. Guess who already feels like he can't make a trip from Lewisburg to Sunbury in time.
I said it's April. I said, come on, you got plenty of time to get this figured out. I said, you got to focus on the Bucknell spring game tonight. See what you're going to see. Yeah, with Dave Cecchini is going to roll out the team for the first time. Of course, we're going to have Dave on the show here on Monday.
Monday, 4:35.
You got it. And so they say, hey, just focus on that. And well, the rub is, well, it's really not a rub, but there's a Shikellamy and Bucknell play the same day. There's one Saturday in the season where Bucknell, Holy Cross, will be in the afternoon, and then boom, he'll go right to the, I believe it's the Shikellamy Lewisburg game this year. They moved it to a Saturday this year.
Yeah. So, in other words, one game ends at 5:00.
Yeah, or close to it.
And you're on the air at 6:30.
Praying all four quarters that it doesn't go to overtime.
And how far is it from Lewisburg to Sunbury?
That's less than 15 miles. You can get there in under 15 minutes, barring no red lights or anything.
So, in other words, say you had a game in Connecticut, Connecticut.
I know where you're going here.
Where the airtime was 12:30, and say the team is playing Duke, right?
That's right. The Hoops game a couple of years ago. That's right.
And the 1:00.
Yeah.
Done at 3:30.
Right.
Walked to parking lot, and with Jeff Nelson riding shotgun, you drive I-95, skirt New York City, go through New York, then down into New Jersey. To be on the air at 6:30 for an 8:00 kickoff at Rutgers.
Does it seem like that
might be a little more
challenging?
Challenging than Lewisburg to Sunbury.
Oh no, you get that construction and grid lot there on Route 15. That can be a bear sometimes.
Should we run a
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.